The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 25. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armour, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honour, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherd on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" Does your work say, "He has no hands"? Woe to him who says to his father, "What have you begotten?" Or to his mother, "What have you brought to birth?" This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshalled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or reward, says the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord says. The products of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and those tall Sabaeans, they will come over to you and will be yours. They will trudge behind you, coming over to you in chains. They will bow down before you and plead with you, saying, "Surely God is with you, and there is no other. There is no other God. Truly you are a God who hides himself, O God and Saviour of Israel. All the makers of idols will be put to shame and disgrace. They will go off into disgrace together. But Israel will be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You will never be put to shame or disgraced to ages everlasting. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, 'Seek me in vain.' I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what it is to be, present it, let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Saviour. There is none but me. Return to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exult. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading, Isaiah chapter 45, is about the greatness of God, the creator and controller of the whole world and everything that happens in it. This morning, we are going to concern ourselves with just one of these happenings, and it concerns the emperor of the mighty empire of the Medes and the Persians. Thus says the Lord, we read in this chapter. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus was the emperor of the Medes and Persians. First, let's put the chapter in context. It was addressed to the Jews who were in exile in Babylon. The nation of Israel as a whole had disobeyed God. They had not fulfilled the role for which God had called them and chosen them, namely to be a light to the Gentiles. They needed to learn this again. God was for everyone, not just for the Jews. Defeat and exile was a good place to start. So we read, therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans. We read this in the Second Chronicles. The Chaldeans was just another name for Babylonians. They took Jerusalem and ransacked the city. They looted the temple, took the sacred vessels, and then they destroyed the temple completely. And this is mentioned specifically. They burned the house of God. And then we read the emperor, took into exile those who had escaped from the sword. This defeat, and particularly the destruction of the temple, the house of God, made the Jews think. It seemed as though God had deserted them. This verse from Psalm 137 gives an idea of how they felt. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. They had been defeated and were now in exile. They thought the exile would be a short one, and God would come rescue them, and soon they would be back in Jerusalem and their homeland. But they were mistaken. The exile was to be a long one. So the prophet Jeremiah wrote a letter to them. We have it in Jeremiah chapter 29. It pulled no punches. It told them that far from being a short exile, it was going to last 70 years. So they had better make the best of it. He told them to build houses, get married, in fact, settle in and play a positive part in the community. Seek the welfare of the city, he said in this letter. A reminder to us that we are most effective witnessing as Christians when we are active in the community. The words, seek the welfare of the city, still apply. Some of the exiles certainly took Jeremiah's word to heart. For example, Daniel and his friends took very important jobs. On the other hand, some may have become totally absorbed in Babylonian ways. However, the worship of the one true God was kept alive. For example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship before the huge statue of Nebuchadnezzar, even with the threat of the fiery furnace hanging over them. This is just one example. There are many others which showed that the worship of God persisted. Towards the end of the exile, there was a power struggle between the expanding empire of the Medes and Persians and the Babylonian Empire. The Medes and the Persians came out on top and eventually took the city of Babylon. Many of the exiles thought life would go on before, although there was a new emperor, Cyrus. But the new emperor brought with him a new policy. The new policy was unusual and unexpected. Cyrus issued an edict that stated all exiles from whatever country were free to return to their own homeland and there worship their own God. This, of course, included the Jews. The 70 years that Jeremiah had predicted was up. The exile was finished. The Jews were free to return to their land. In addition, Cyrus gave back the vessels and treasures that had been looted from the temple before it was destroyed, so they could be used in the new temple when it was built. This new policy, Cyrus regarded as his. He imagined, he had thought of it. But Isaiah 45 tells us differently. It was God's plan. It had always been so. That's why Jeremiah could prophesy that the exile would last 70 years. God was using somebody who didn't worship him or believe in him, as it says in this chapter, I, God, equip you, Cyrus, though you do not know me. The whole of Isaiah 45 is about God controlling world events. For many of the Jews, this was new. God, working through godless foreigners in a foreign territory to further his own purposes, surely it can't be possible. In fact, Cyrus is called in this chapter God's anointed one. This whole business seemed unlikely, so unlikely that some German theologians in the 19th century maintained that the Bible must be inaccurate and that Cyrus would never have issued such an edict. However, a clay cylinder was discovered on which was written this very edict in several languages. The cylinder is known as Cyrus's cylinder. And so the Bible was proved and is therefore to be is accurate and reliable. So the exile officially came to an end, and after 70 years with Cyrus's edict, which perhaps taught the exiles that God rules the whole of creation, not just the chosen people, the Jews. It also is a reminder to us that whatever happens in the world and to us, God is in charge. We may not understand, and we may not be able to explain why things are happening, but we are not at the mercy of arbitrary events in the middle of a gigantic cosmos. God, our maker and creator, is in control. So, after 70 years of exile, we would perhaps think that everyone would jump at this chance of returning. But many have been born in Babylon. Some were too comfortable and making a long and hazardous journey, and then to arrive at the broken down city with a broken down temple, this did not appeal. But a returning party was organized and arrived at Jerusalem. And the first thing they started work on was the temple. The rebuilding of the city had to wait. The returnees divided roughly into two groups. One group, often older people, looked back and wanted everything restored as it used to be. The second group looked back, but now they were in a new situation. It was pointless only looking back. It was important, though, to look forward as well. This division is illustrated in the book of Ezra, and we read at the consecration of the temple foundations, we read, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. But many who had seen the first temple wept. The rebuilding was hard, often unrewarding work, and the project faltered at times. Enthusiasm waned and had to be reignited by prophets such as Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah. The Jews suddenly and unexpectedly found themselves in a post-exilic situation. And they had to answer the question, how are we to deal with this new situation? We as a church faced a post-pandemic situation. How are we to deal with it? I think it would be wrong to draw direct parallels between the two events. But like them, we are faced with a new situation. We have developed new skills. We've had new experiences. And these have demanded a different approach. The question is, how can we use these skills and experiences? We may want to look back and go back. It may be necessary to do things differently. But the objective is the same: to be effective witnesses to God and Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.